B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
63-52, Miami by 11, 20 seconds into the third quarter.
This one's for you.
No kidding.
Oh, God. All right. So, final hour of the program. John Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray in for Fred and Rich. Rich will be back tomorrow here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. And the Celtics play game one of their best of seven first-round playoff series tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers down in Orlando. Cedric Maxwell is the Celtics radio analyst on 98.5, The Sports Hub. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Max, yeah, I know they play Philadelphia. Yeah, I know you guys aren't there. All anyone wants to talk about, Max, and you're going to have to bring him up. All anyone wants to talk about, Max, is how do you order a pizza into an environment where no strangers are supposed to show up? That's all anyone wants to know, Max.
John, it's very easy. You get one of our sales weasels to go downstairs and pick it up for you. That's all. You know, this is from an old, this is from somebody who used to be around. It's pretty easy, but now I might have a problem, John, because there's a shortage on pepperoni in the nation.
Oh, no!
Yes. I just saw it on CNN, so you know, I might have to bring my own pepperoni, but you know, it is what it is.
So the question now is, if you're without pepperoni, Max, what's your second choice?
You have to go with sausage, John. You go with Italian sausage and cheese, but you know, I'm a meat lover guy. So, you know, I'd like a couple of different meats on my pizza.
Okay, so you order the pizza, and it's during the game against Phoenix, right? And no, yeah. It's Houston.
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon rolls his ankle real bad, and he is struggling to get off the floor. And Sean is trying to give this moment, you know, what it deserves. It's a bad thing. No one wants to see anyone get hurt. And there's Max with the pizza. Did you see what was going on, Max, or are you just hungry?
John, it's not my problem, okay? Damn, yeah. He told you what happened. Okay, what am I supposed to do next, John? Stop eating my pizza to go, oh, wait a minute, let me go wrap this guy's damn ankle or something. Okay? No. John, he gave a call. I've been around 25 years now doing this. When he gave a call, he said what happened. Now, what am I, oh, you know what I should have did, John? I should have did like your wife does when your kids fall. Oh,
see, right. Whenever Max and I work together, it always comes back to my wife.
Are you okay? You know what? Why did your dad trip you? Why did that happen? Okay. At the end of the day, that happens.
My wife always listens to the broadcast, and she loves Max. She loves
Max.
Who
doesn't love Max?
Seriously, everyone loves Max. All right. So Celtics play Philadelphia. Yes. You had something to add?
No. Oh, okay. I was listening.
All right. I thought you said something. Well, Celtics play Philadelphia tonight, and this is after the throwaway regular season finale. Celtics went 5-3 in the bubble. They look great. All of their wings look great. I mean, it seems like they're entering the playoffs on as good a note as you can possibly enter them on.
It looks like they're on an uptick. You know, if they can stay healthy, they have an opportunity. Playing against Philadelphia, obviously going to be a tough opponent. But, you know, without Ben Simmons out there, it really is hard for a team because he's been one of your star players. Your offense has been built around him and Embiid. He is more like Magic Johnson when I talk about Simmons, of bringing the ball out, bringing up, being a facilitator, running the floor, you know, at 6'8". Sometimes he creates problems out there. Without him in the lineup, how does Philadelphia change on the fly? These are going to be some serious problems. Now, the Celtics, on the other hand, everybody's healthy. Everybody's, you know, playing well. You know, everybody talked about Kemba for a while, and Kemba not really being able to, you know, his knee being sore. But I think they've kind of got it down to what they want. Maybe having them play about 30 minutes and bridging up from there. And he looked really good in the bubble also.
All right, just a quick follow-up, Max. I was reading that head coach Brett Brown, who, by the way, may not have his job much longer, but head coach Brett Brown was thinking about sitting down either point guard Shake Milton or Al Horford and installing Matisse Thybulle, who is a defensive specialist but not much on the offensive end, to kind of counteract the Celtics' wing play. Do you what do you think about that move?
I think that could be a good move, because now you're if you had Al out there in that position, you have him running around on the floor against Tatum, Brown, Ojale could be. So many pieces come at Al, so you might want to put him back, sit him down on the bench and let him come in later on when you have maybe Cantor in the game. So I think that's maybe might be a pretty good move defensively when you think about having a young player out there, but Embiid is the real problem. Daniel Tice and, you know, Enes Kanter have to be those two guys to stay in front of them. Now, add one more thing in the scenario here, John, which could be really good. What has happened right now with another young player? I'm going to let you guess this one now, John. Another young player for the Celtics who plays the center position.
Robert Williams. Robert Williams.
Has played really well. Running the floor, getting a little bit more confident about what he does on the offensive end. But defensively, what we know, he can block shots around the rim.
Hey, Max, it's good to talk to you. Big fan. I want to ask you about this, the overall kind of mentality. I feel like there's a concerted effort by guys on the Celtics on the offensive side to attack the rim more. It just looks like more guys are attacking the rim, you know, and it feels like it just is opening up for, you know, driving dish and driving and shoot. And to me, it looks like a more aggressive offensive style when you have all these guys being aggressive going to the rim. Have you noticed that? And do you think that's going to be a big factor, is guys creating opportunities driving to the basket?
Are you auditioning right now for Brett Brown's job? that was pretty good the way you broke it down. I think that's what happens. You know, I'm not a fan of the three-point shot. You know, I know it's necessary, but, you know, I'm not a fan, because sometimes it's fool's gold. When you get a high percentage shot attacking the rim, you penetrate going in towards the basket, the defense collapses. It's the easiest way to get a three-point shot because everybody collapses and you kick the ball back out. Plus, if you go towards the rim and get a high percentage shot, you get a chance to get a foul, you get a chance to get a rebound. And on top of that, when you foul a guy, put him on the bench, he cannot hurt you there. So I like the opportunities about the Celtics attacking the rim the way they are.
All right, so now without Simmons in the mix, the Celtics kind of have a different team to play. Brad Stevens went out of his way in the last couple of days to say, well, without Ben Simmons there, Philadelphia, using advanced analytics, has the number one offense. You have Embiid down low, and you spot up shooters all the way around him. However, having said that, I'm not necessarily buying what Brad is selling. I think the Celtics are playing so well, they should get rid of this team quickly. Do you agree?
I hope that they do, you know, and I think I sent you something the other day from I did on the podcast with Robert Parrish. And the thing that Robert Parrish mentioned, he said, Embiid, he says, a great player. But Robert Parrish, Hall of Famer, say he needs to get his big ass in shape. And, you know, right. and that to me was like a knock. It was a good moment, but it was a knock also on Embiid. But, you know, he's a tremendous player. But there are a lot of times when his team needs him that he's winded, that he can't be out there on the floor for a long period of time. So I think there are a lot of things that happen in the game that you look at it, the way it's played, that, you know, it definitely favors the Celtics if they can stay healthy. But I wouldn't just throw, you know, when one team has the best player, sometimes they have a fighter's chance. And the best player so far probably in this series on paper would be Joel Embiid.
Hey, Max, you mentioned you talked with Robert Parrish. He also had an interesting story regarding Michael Jordan as well. Not sure if you want to share that one. And I don't know, you were talking about music and your playlist. You want to share some of the people that you have
on
the playlist?
By the way, Max's podcast is a must listen. Yes, we'll give you the publicity in a second, Max. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Robert Parrish was good. And what he said, what he shared with him about Michael Jordan was really good. It was so funny because he had played Michael in a game. And, well, they were playing together when Robert played with Chicago. And Phil Jackson had Robert Parrish with the first team. and play with Michael. Then he went to the second team where Robert said, I was playing with my boys then against Michael and Scotty. They beat him three times in a row. Robert Parrish and his young boys beat Michael three times. So walking off the court, Robert Parrish looks over to Michael Jordan and says, how you like the mask kickings we just put on you? And Michael says, if you keep talking, I'll kick your ass. And Robert, like, you and who else? And he just said that Michael was just a bully. He said that Michael was a tyrant out there. He said it would not have worked with our teams during the 80s of somebody being that way. And we wouldn't have tolerated it because we had those strong personalities. You can't argue with the success of Michael Jordan, but still Robert Parrish made that point.
All right.
My playlist would start off with a lot of jazz. I have a guy named Frankie Beverly and Maze. I would do a little Elton John. I'm a little old school. Billy Joel would be on my playlist.
I love it.
I wouldn't have Coldplay, but man, and the name I love to use. I don't like to use the other name, but Darius Rucker would be one of the guys.
Come on, man! Really?
Max,
whatever gets you going, buddy. Don't apologize for that playlist. Whatever gets you going, buddy.
Hootie wraps this thing up for you? Really?
I love it.
I did not say Hootie. I didn't say Hootie. I said Darius Rucker. Remember, he was an independent guy at one time. He went by himself with that name, and I bought a couple of CDs on him. So I really loved it.
All right, so we have Elton John, Billy Joel, and Hootie. Along with the jazz.
Well, it's Darius Rucker. Yeah. But
it's the same guy.
No Coldplay, though.
Same guy. You get points for no Coldplay, though. So good for you.
How can
people find your podcast, Max?
Yeah, very simple. You can go to YouTube all over the place, and, you know, you can find my podcast, The Real Cedric Maxwell. And, you know, it's been fun. Been fun doing the podcast. Some of the people I've talked to, I had a chance the other day to have a long, very good conversation with James Worthy. And that was, it was real eye-opening. He made some comments and statements that I absolutely loved. And it was a great opportunity to, see one of the villains in my life and be able to actually talk to him. So, you know, that was a good thing.
All right. It's the Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 tip-off over on sister station WROR 105.7. Max, good to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely, gentlemen. You guys have a good time, and, you know, make sure you leave the pizza for me, okay?
With pepperoni.
Well, there's
no
a pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
A pepperoni shortage.
You're right.
It's sausage if it's not pepperoni. I got you. All right, give Sean our best. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Max.
All right, guys.
All right, Cedric Maxwell. We'll take a break, and then we'll, you know, I guess we'll open up the floor for whatever anyone wants to talk about. 617-779-0985. If you want to get back into Tuukka Rask, you can. Bruins, of course, have game 4 against Carolina tonight on this radio station. Pregame 7:30, puck drop just after 8 o'clock. You can talk Celtics. We've been back and forth on the Patriots. Whatever you want to talk about, it's Wallach, it's Ted Johnson, it's Joe Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. John Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray all here in for Fred and Rich on a Monday, 617-779-0985. We're here with you till 10 o'clock, and then the Zolak and Bertrand extravaganza comes in and takes over. We've been bouncing around. We did a lot of Bruins earlier in the show. We were all Patriots last hour. We kind of snuck in some Celtics here with Cedric Maxwell, who, in case you were wondering, said didn't matter that Eric Gordon was hobbling off with an ankle. Yeah. It's not his job.
Right.
You know, Sean Grandy called the play. Yeah. That's what you needed to know.
Yeah.
He was focused on the pizza, and he had a salesperson go fetch the pizza for him. It really
is. That's what you do if you're Cedric Maxwell. You get somebody else to go get the pizza.
Well, I mean, he's maxed. I mean, Max gets away, and all of us have known people like that in our lives where we're just ham and eggers, and we're struggling along, and we have to struggle for things to get things done, but we all know one person who just flies by life. I'll give you another example.
Guy is for me?
Oh, hold on. I just want one quick story, and then I'll ask. I remember I was standing in line at TD Garden back when the world was normal, and there's a big security line at TD Garden. I was calling a game one night. I'm standing in line at TD Garden. This is 2-3 years ago. And the security line to get in is long. You know, there was a shift change, and it was like 5:30, and I was there for a 7 o'clock game, 7:30 game, and the line's about 10, 15 people deep, and we're all waiting to go through. And Brian Scalabrine shows up, waves at a few people, like takes his sport coat off, walks by all of us, right through security. Everyone knows a guy like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, it's Mike Vrabel. Vrabel is a guy that just with his charm and charisma,
yeah.
I think has been able to get away with a lot of things.
With Bill, too.
Oh, he could rip Bill and make fun of Bill in a team meeting and get away with it because, A, he's funny as hell, right? And B, he backed it up with his play. So as long as you're a great player and you when you do, go after Bill Belichick, you better be funny. And he always was.
You better be funny and produce on the field, both of those things. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to the calls. Eric is in Winthrop. You're next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was, and I suppose I still am, a Tuca guy, but I don't want to see him on the ice for the Bruins ever again. I'm tired of his IBS, his crones, him opting out of every big game whenever it's an option. If we can't deport him back to Finland, then ship him to Montreal so we can stomp him every time we play our rival. Sign Halak to a lifetime contract right now. I don't ever want to see Tuca and his curly, stupid hair ever again.
All right.
I think that could potentially be a big problem here because my feeling is the majority of the fans are going to feel like that gentleman fails. And so you're going to have a fan base that is not going to be happy if he does come back. And we all think he is going to come back next year. Whereas the front office and the players, so far, what you can tell, at least it feels like they're in full support of him and have the question is like absurd to them to even think that he might not come back next year. But the fans don't want him back. And so there's going to be an interesting kind of conflict from a PR standpoint.
It's weird because we talked about this earlier, that this event, what happened with Rask over the weekend, while seismic in NHL circles, I mean, you have one of the best goaltenders on the planet opting out and theoretically wrecking his team's chances to get to the Stanley Cup final that most people had them penciled in for. I don't think this changes anybody's mind about him. That's the weird part. Everyone who hated him still hates him, and everyone who likes him still supports him. And I don't think anyone has kind of changed sides as a result of this. Well, I don't think any of the hatred fans go to like it.
But there's a lot of people that are
weird.
The undecideds, though. It's my feeling is all there's undecideds out there, and
there aren't. But that's the thing.
Really,
with Rask,
it's one or the other.
He's such a polarizing figure. I don't think anyone sits on the fence with him. You either like him and are willing to accept the opt-outs and the times where he's kind of said, no, I can't play, or you hated him, and the only reason you still wanted him on the ice is because he was so good. Mm-hmm. Now, if you hated him, you have that extra juice like that last guy. It's like, Eric's like, I want him gone. I don't want him here anymore. And my contention is, regardless of how the fan base feels, the stuff that I heard coming out of that locker room and the stuff that I heard from Don Sweeney afterwards – trying to read between the lines, he's going to be back here next year.
It sounds like
they're not trading him.
I think, but fans, if you want to tone down the kind of the fervor for the Tuca, hate, if you will, is a more of a explanation. You know, it's probably none of our business, but there's
it's definitely none of our business.
But we just, the public decides what is and what isn't our business a lot of times. Unfortunately, the people are not going to be satisfied with the family emergency when Don Sweeney's up there saying it wasn't a family emergency, right? So he's phrasing it as it's a family emergency. Well, then Don Sweeney right after says everybody's fine there. There is no emergency. And then with the context of his comments leading up to the game, this is overall attitude while he's been in the bubble, people are going to think that he quit on his team.
Am I now thinking about this? Not only are people's opinions not going to be changed now, but regardless of what it is that Rask went home for, I don't think there are still going to be a significant section of Bruins fans that will never forgive him, regardless of what the circumstances are. Where if you think about it as a rational human being, you're like, okay, if it's a family emergency and no one has any idea what it is, if it's a family emergency, if one of his children is sick or his wife is sick or whatever the case may be, even though Don Sweeney said his family is safe, there are a lot of ways to go around that. There might be a problem with his family that none of us know about. That's the case, there are still going to be sections of Bruins fans that don't care.
Let me ask you this, John. Do you think the people would not feel as strongly about the decision Tuca made if he did it before the games started again.
Oh, no, that makes all the difference.
That makes all the difference. If he just, hey, no problem, you opt out before the restart. Now that the restart's happened and you hear his comments and what he's kind of been saying throughout the whole time, it's going to turn people off. I mean, if
the timing of this thing is the most important thing.
That's what's going to really turn people off.
Why didn't you opt out beforehand? You had plenty of time to worry about this. I don't know. It seems to me that something happened in the last 24 to 48 hours that changed his mind. And there's a lot of the other part of this is there's a lot of gray area there. Sweeney says, "Well, you know, the family's safe." Meanwhile, there was a report on Nesson before the game on Saturday. There's a family. Yes, the family is safe, but there's still a family emergency I need to tend to. And there's still you have to leave open that possibility. There's still a possibility that both sides are telling the truth. But Bruins fans don't want to hear that. Yeah. Bruins fans want to be pissed. And I understand that because you might have taken away any chance that you had of winning a Stanley Cup. You might have that might have just happened. And considering the expectations for this team, if you're a Bruins fan, and I'm one of them, that sucks.
Yeah.
But there's this other part that you can't ignore that remains a possibility.
And here's the thing. I think the way the players are acting and the way the front office is acting about his departure lends me to think that I need to just maybe tone down any kind of, you know, angst I had. Again, I was fired up when I saw that he wasn't playing Saturday. If there's more information that needs to be revealed, that's kind of what I'm looking for before I make a full-on, you know, 100% opinion on this, because I feel like it's a little bit of a wait and see.
All right. Sean, you're next on 98.5 The Sports Hub, line one. Sean, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, Wallach. How are you? You don't seem too good this morning. You seem a little confused, buddy.
Oh, yeah? Well, how's that?
I mean, come on now. You said that the guys who didn't like Tuca still don't like Tuca, and the guys who like Tuca still like Tuca. Yo, I like Tuca a lot. What he just did is that's unchangeable, man. Yeah. Like, come on. I was a big Tuca fan. And, you know, what he did, he tucked it between his legs, brother.
All right. You know? So there's no going back from this.
I'm telling you.
I don't think so, man. What do you think, Teddy?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. There's going to be people that were Tuca fans that this was kind of like the last straw. The team is the best record in the NHL. You lose Game 7 last year in your own building. You've played out of your mind this year when nobody expected you to be emotionally invested in the season. You have a chance with all these great players to kind of cement legacies. And after the third game of the playoffs, you decide that you don't want to play anymore. That is going to be – even the Tuca supporters are going to have a tough time defending Tuca.
I guess I'm wrong. I guess the electrified fence isn't nearly as electrified as I thought. Maybe
– bird brain.
That's what I am. I've been called that three times this morning. I see you on the phones. Hang on through the break. We'll get to more of your Tuca calls. That's coming up next. We have headlines with Joe Murray, and then we'll wind down the show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack 98.5 The Sports Hub, winding down a Monday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. John Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray, all here. Rich certainly will be back tomorrow. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments. It's 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. And during the last segment of the program before the break, I said that what Tuukka Rask did on Saturday won't change anything. Those people who hate Tuukka still hate him, and those people who like Tuukka will stay on his side. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Because I was one
avalanche
of the undecided.
And well, you're one of the few people that's undecided. I maintain that he's such a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
You're on one side or another. But man, the people that are lining up to hop on that speedboat away from Tuca Island is really, it's impressive. It's an avalanche of calls and emails and posts on social media. Nope, done, gone. I've defended that guy enough. I'm out. I'm finished. So I guess I'm wrong. I'm one of the few that is willing to wait and see here. I'm based on the rumblings I hear, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Not a lot of other people are. Let's go to line two, Jordan in Florida. You're next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, I just want to know if you guys think Al Horford regrets his decision to join the Sixers instead of staying with the Celtics. What do you guys think?
I think that's a big yes. Oh, he's got to be
a big yes.
Like, the money was pretty much the same, right?
Sixers were a little better.
A little better.
A little better. And by the time the Celtics came back around, it was $100 million over 4 years. It's for a guy like that.
He's coming off the bench.
Well, it's not just that. It's that the knee was a trouble last year at the end of the season. And the Celtics weren't going to go that fourth year. I mean, he's in his mid-30s now, and considering the knee trouble, I didn't blame the Celtics for not going, extending themselves out. Yeah. But ultimately, if Al Horford had to do it all again, he'd stay here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, he'd stay here. Think of all the trouble that the Sixers have gone through this year. Think about having to play next to Embiid, who doesn't give full effort every night. Yeah. Think about being benched for guys like Shake Milton, Matisse Thybul, and Furkan Korkmaz, which is what Al's had to go through this year.
Yeah, my thing is that maybe Al was like, the last 2 years he was here, it was with Kyrie Irving. And maybe it just, something, he just didn't like how the organization maybe was handling that. Well, so he just thought this organization isn't okay.
Because he knew, like everybody else, and I think everyone pretty much knew by Christmas or January of last year that Kyrie was gone.
My feeling is, though, if you're Al Horford last year, how the season ended, let's face it, even Kyrie, it just... Jason Tatum took a step back. Jaylen Brown played well last year, but Gordon Hayward wasn't the player that we all thought he was. I know he's coming off of an injury. Maybe he just felt that this team, and Kemba Walker wasn't on the team, this team wasn't going anywhere, particularly without Kyrie Irving. So he felt like he needed to... go on somewhere else.
I think Al knows he made a mistake.
Oh, he has to.
I think Al also knew by the time he signed with Philadelphia, he knew Kemba Walker was coming here. I think that's pretty much the way it works. The wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't think it's a surprise that literally the second the flag went up, Kemba Walker was a Celtic. I mean, everybody on both sides kind of knew that was going to happen. That's my belief. I don't have any specific evidence to point in that direction. Yeah. But I think you can figure that out. Al took more money, but he knew that Kyrie was gone, and he knew Walker was coming here. And I think he regrets that.
I'm not sure how Kemba is perceived around the NBA. I don't know if he's a big enough draw to go, oh, I better stay here because Kemba's coming here. It's Kemba Walker versus Kyrie Irving and how they're viewed on the landscape of the NBA are apples and oranges. Kemba is a nice player, but he's not Kyrie Irving.
I still think that Al realized no later than Christmas that he had made a gigantic mistake.
He had to know. You know why? Because he was treated really well here, man.
Mm-hmm.
Fans
loved him. Yeah.
It's 2016. They signed him here. He was the biggest free agent signing in over 20 years for the Boston Celtics.
I think they've never had a free agent signing for that amount of money before Al. No, that's true. Al was the first step towards what you have now.
And he got a lot of credit, and he had it good here, so he's got to be kicking himself.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Jamie in Milton. You're next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I had this call, Joe Murray will appreciate it. Conspiracy theory with the Bruins in Tuca. What if Neely and Sweeney kind of sat down with them behind closed doors and said, you know what, with that attitude, get out of here. Say whatever you got to say, but we'll back you up, but you're all done.
You know, it's interesting. We had a caller bring that up earlier. A people's champ. This guy was talking to you.
My whole thing is you can't dilute any value for Tuukka Rask. And in his final year of a deal, a team's going to want him. And if they crap on him now and don't support him now, they're going to have no value. But I will say this. I don't think he can bounce back from this emergency or not. The fans will not forget this one. I don't think he'll ever play for the Bruins ever again.
Is he traded before 2021?
That seems to be what Joe's saying.
It's either that or he goes to the expansion draft. Dude, he hinted at retirement during COVID. So who knows? What is he? Besides winning a cup on his own, what's he proved?
You can't.
What else does he have to prove?
You, regardless of what happens, you can't. You're not going to expose him to the. You can't. If you really want him off your roster, you can't lose him for nothing. You can't just expose him and let the Seattle Kraken take him. You got to trade him. There's no way in hell he's going to play goaltender for Seattle next year. With a talent like that, one Vezina trophy, he may win the Vezina again this year. That's how good he was. If you're telling me this guy wins one or two Vezinas, are you going to lose him for nothing other than cap space? That's insane.
Yeah.
That's not good business sense at all.
I know it's not, but my goodness, this could leave a mark. This one could leave
a mark. I think it's from what we've seen this morning. I mean, the social media things I'm getting and the calls that we've gotten, absolutely.
I think you just got to get a feel for your team. Is this team going to welcome them back with open arms? Do they really, like they're all acting now that they're okay with it? Is that really the case? And if it is, then you can. You're going to have to deal with the PR fallout as it comes.
All right, so coming up tonight, two playoff games. Bruins right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Pregame 7:30, face-off 8 o'clock. They lead the Carolina Hurricanes 2-1. By the way, the Hurricanes probably going to be without Andrei Svechnikov, who hurt himself.
That looked like a bad.
Wrestling with Zdeno Chara in front. The Bruins were able to play well, down Rask and Pasternak. Svechnikov has been a major part of what Carolina does. I'd love to see if they're able to bounce back from that. And then on the basketball side, as we were just talking about, Celtics will play the Philadelphia 76ers in game one over on Sister Station 105.7, pregame 6 o'clock, tip-off 6:30. Before we get out of here, and we'll have more Bruins and Celtics coverage coming up with Zolak and Bertrand coming up at 10 o'clock, because it's such a big football story, I wanted to make sure I got your take on it because you've seen a lot of injuries during your career. And since then, what is happening with Alex Smith and the Washington football team is remarkable. I don't know. What is it? 15 surgeries, 20 surgeries, 30 surgeries?
Oh, I heard 50
surgeries.
I read 50.
Just pick a number. However much it has been since he had his legs shattered 2 years ago on a football field. And Joe Theismann came out yesterday and said, wow, this is way worse than the injury I had when I was younger. Alex Smith has been physically cleared to play yesterday. This morning, he is out on the field practicing with the Washington football team. And from what I'm reading, he has a chance to be this team's starting quarterback. I can't believe this is happening.
It's a great story. I'm a fan of Alex Smith. He does the best what God gives him. I know it's great, but it's, for a lot of teams, he's more than capable of being their quarterback. So, and he seems like a good guy. He seems like a guy that you kind of want to root for. So if he can come back and play, more power to him.
Haskins is so bad.
So bad.
I'm convinced that Smith could be this team's starting quarterback in week one.
I mean, Dwayne Haskins, I mean, he looked so disinterested on the sideline. He wasn't paying attention half the time. And when he got thrown in there, he wasn't ready. He doesn't seem to have the mentality of kind of a franchise quarterback needs to have. So I'm pulling for Alex Smith to come back from that injury.
What's the worst injury you've ever seen in person? The worst injury you've ever seen in person. The worst one I saw, again, from my press box seat 8 miles away, I saw Junior Seau break his wrist or arm on the football field in 2007, right?
Yep.
2006, 2007, 2000, whenever Junior was here. And the funny, you saw it happen. I saw it happen. His arm snapped. You could see it on the field. And I've seen a lot of ugly injuries on television.
Ted's bicep wasn't great.
The funniest part out of all of that, and you know how the Patriots are, is that after Junior got let off the field with the arm immobilized, you saw it on TV. You saw it. You could see it in person. The Patriots, being who they are, you know, what they do in the press box is they have a guy, John Rooker, does public address outside, and they have another guy who does, you know, media public address inside. He said, Patriots injury update, Junior Seau, wrist, questionable.
I love it. I love it. I could hear them saying that. Questionable for the second half.
Questionable to return.
Yeah.
All of us laughed because we thought it was funny, but worst injury you've ever seen in person. Just give me a couple of examples of stuff you've witnessed on a football field and you went, oh man.
Well, you know, I've been, unfortunately, I think I've been responsible for two guys kind of having their careers take a detour. One was Monty Brown. You remember Monty Brown?
Oh, yeah. He fought recently in wrestling.
Yeah, he was a huge wrestling fan. He'd come into work seriously in the mornings and just, like, grab you and, like, you had to, like, play out the whole scene. He'd grab you and throw you against the ropes, and you'd go hit the ropes. You'd have to come back, and then you'd swing, and he'd duck. Like, he had this whole thing. That's how he greeted you in the morning. I love Monty. I stepped on the back of his foot one time in a game against San Diego. Tore his Achilles. He never really was able to come back. And then there's another second string fullback. Early in my career, I hit in practice and blew out his knee, and he never came back. So there's a couple of injuries that I feel horrible about. I caused. A lot of injuries happened by friendly fire. My bicep, first one, was because of Lawyer Malloy hitting me from the back. I was reaching out to tackle Jerome Bettis, and Lawyer came flying down and hit my arm. And the two opposite forces what forced my bicep to tear and roll up.
What do you say? What did Lawyer say to you after seeing what happened?
My bad. You know, there's nothing you can say.
Just walk away.
It's part of the game. I don't know.
Enjoy injured reserve.
Hey, Lawyer, just like keep your eyes up. You know, see what you're hitting, bud.
Tell the bicep story.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, for the 100th time. So.
It was awesome.
Rolled right up. What's the worst injury you've ever seen?
That's
on
a good
football
question.
Field?
The worst thing you've ever seen.
I'm trying to think of something I've seen.
In person on the football field.
I haven't. College, I had a guy that broke his lower leg, was like Thyssen.
Ugh. Bone sticking out, yeah. You've seen bones sticking out. I haven't yet, but you hear about that all the time.
All right. Real quick before we move on, made a mistake. Apparently, Tuca can't, the expansion draft, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent when that happens. I was a year off. My mistake, I apologize.
Yeah, I've been to that.
I throw myself
well.
On my sword, I apologize.
But they do have
that's
to
the correct
they
way.
They do have to protect some guys. Maybe they don't.
They don't protect.
So maybe that's.
If he's a free agent, you don't protect Tuca. That's correct.
One other thing to add, it looks like Dez Bryant may be making a return to the NFL, working out with the Ravens today.
All right. Well, I mean, what does that mean for Antonio Brown?
It means he's probably going to Seattle.
Yeah. That could probably be true. Oh, and one more injury, and a listener just because I was there when it happened. Remember Red Sox pitcher Bryce Flory?
Oh, right back to the
he
face.
Got hit in the face, right in the eye socket with a line drive. And those, unfortunately, that was one day where I had really good seats. It was a Red Sox-Yankees game. Red Sox are out of it, kind of like this year. Red Sox are out of it. Bryce Flory was pitching in relief, and you could hear the sound the ball made when it hit him in the face. And it was like one of those 100-mile-an-hour liners right back up the box. There was no way. He was never the same pitcher again. Zolak, full crew today, yes?
Full crew
is in today. But, yeah, that was the worst.
Any blood? It was a blood?
No.
Just
but
went down. And
no, he went down. And
but you heard it hit his face.
You heard the slap of the ball hitting his face. The worst one I've ever seen is Junior Seau's, arm getting snapped. But I'll never forget that sound that you hear. That's one of those things that you always remember. Yeah. And it was like, oh, because I remember the Red Sox.
Oh, that's
like
the
they
sound
were,
you won't forget.
And so many, I think this was like 2000 when they were out of it and they had no chance and they were spinning out of control. So, I mean,
Gordon Hayward's leg. Dude, I saw that thing hanging. That was gross.
No.
In person.
When you were physically there for. When you were physically, that was the question.
Yeah.
The worst injury you saw when you were physically in the building, so you weren't there for Hayward.
No, I was not there.
So
for
that's what I'm saying. Bryce.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.